This podcast is brought to you by BearRadio.net, eclectic gay music 24/7.
Greetings. Thanks for joining us here on Bear Soup. This is Ron Serratia, editor of the fiction anthology Bear Lust, and I'm hosting a friendly little get-together here in our huge backyard hot tub. Plenty of room for a hunky guy like you. Get naked and get into the drink. You're just in time for Bear Soup.
This is episode number 5.
This week we have the second part of Cub Makes Headlines from Jay Neal. In this story, Mike, a cub reporter of the Weekly Gazette, is assigned to an undercover piece about bears. Mike decides to begin his investigation of bears at Bear Games Night, advertised in the local paper. And now, part 2 of Cub Makes Headlines by Jay Neal. Bear Games Night sounded like what? He couldn't seem to picture a bunch of gangsters playing Scrabble, even if they did look a lot like him. He was determined to get the story still, and he was convinced that the story started with Bear Games. The newspaper announcement had a phone number for the organizer, someone named Doug. A bear named Doug sounded pretty normal. Mike picked up the phone and started dialing, but put it down before it could ring. Whatever was he going to say to a bear named Doug? He pulled his well-thumbed copy of Interview Tips for Cub Reporters from his desk drawer and looked through it for helpful suggestions. None seemed particularly applicable. Mike picked up his phone again, dialed, and was soon talking to the bear named Doug, who seemed remarkably easy to talk to. Mike asked whether he might join the bears for games night.
Of course, visitors are always welcome.
And got directions. He tried to glean a little information for his story without being too overt, but didn't get much. Doug at least had a nice voice, big and round and warm and friendly. Was that what a biker or gangster sounded like on the phone? It was getting late in the day, and Doug's place would take some time to get to, since Mike couldn't yet afford a car. That left him just enough time to get himself home, take a shower, put on his good flannel shirt, nuke a few frozen burritos for dinner, and make his way by bus and foot to his evening's destination. He grabbed his Cub Reporter's pocket notebook and headed out. Shortly before 8 o'clock, Mike was standing on the sidewalk in front of Doug's suburban bungalow. Earlier, as he walked down Doug's street, he thought he spotted a couple of big guys with beards going in the front door. They could have been gangsters. It was hard to tell in the near dark. There had been no further activity. The porch light was on and the coast was clear. He was ready to go in. The doorbell was answered by the very imposing host, a big guy, taller and bigger around than Mike, with short onyx black hair and beard. He wore jeans and a flannel shirt, but in a different plaid from Mike's. He must be the kingpin of the operation, but, to be honest, he didn't look all that dangerous to Mike.
Hi, I'm Doug. You must be Mike.
He shook Mike's hand and let him in through the door.
Come on in. Say hi to the guys. Make yourself at home.
Inside, Mike was surprised to find the room filled largely with amply sized men with beards. Friendly-looking men with beards when it came down to it, variously arrayed around card tables, rolling dice, moving game pieces around game boards, dealing cards, and throwing poker chips into piles. He felt considerably relieved to discover that most of the guys there actually did look quite a bit like him.
Guys, say hi to Mike!
A dozen or more hands waved in the air. Some of the guys looked up from their games to give Mike a quick visual evaluation. Mike waved to the room at large and indulged in his own bit of visual evaluating, surveying the variety of beards and body shapes. He'd never before been around so many men at one time who seemed so gentle, so massive, and so hot-looking. Doug was steering Mike across the room, pointing out the games in progress.
That's Ricky, Dave, Jake, and Pete at the Mahjong table. Their play gets pretty competitive, so be careful. Likewise for Boo Boo and Stan with their dominoes. Joe over here would love your company, but you should know that he has a strong cribbage fetish and he only gets off while pegging out.
Indeed, Joe was grinning widely and gesturing feverishly, but Mike just smiled back and continued with Doug.
Over here at the big table is the Monopoly board, and I see the guys have saved a place for you. What do you say?
Sounds fine if I can remember the rules.
Don't worry, Doug said. They make it up as they go along anyway, reading from left to right. Nick, Rod, Sam, and Barry.
Mike shook hands from left to right. Extra stout with long blonde hair and beard, Nick. Tall and muscled with a shaved head and brown mouth beard, Rod. pocket-sized, with wavy brown hair and an incandescent smile framed by a full beard, Sam. And husky, with short red hair and beard, Barry. Mike was thinking that it might be difficult to concentrate on the game, not to mention getting the bear story, with opponents as attractive as these guys. They sat down to play. Mike ended up with a racing car token. He would have preferred the schnauzer, but apparently Sam always got the schnauzer. Besides, he was here to get the story, and not to be the story. The car certainly didn't help his luck any since he rolled last, though. The real estate market was hot, but he managed to buy only Baltic Avenue and the Waterworks, since he was always last to get to the good ones. No monopolies for him tonight. The game rolled on and the trading stayed friendly. The other guys built houses and hotels, but Mike paid rent. Their piles of money increased, but his decreased alarmingly. It seemed he'd better get started on his investigation before it was too late. Several approaches came to mind, but he decided to go with something subtle. "So," Mike asked, nonchalantly rolling the dice, "what do you think really makes a bear?" He moved his racing car to Park Place, trying not to notice the looks of incredulity from the other players. Barry owned Park Place and Boardwalk. Mike handed over all but $20 of his remaining Monopoly money. "Okay," Barry said, "I'll bite. For me, it's the beard. There's nothing quite so individual or beautiful or sexy as a beard, whether it's short and stubbly or long and fluffy. Full or cut in a Van Dyke, it completes a man's face and turns his mouth into an object of such sensuality that it is impossible not to kiss him." Barry abruptly stood and stepped toward Mike, grabbed Mike's beard to pull his face up, and leaned over to give Mike a long, wet kiss that lasted until it was Barry's turn again. He let go of Mike and took his turn with the dice. Mike looked unusually thoughtful.
"I'm not sure I agree, Barry," Rod said as Mike took his next turn.
Mike was happy with the roll since it meant passing go, until he found that he had landed on Oriental Avenue, a color where Rod had a monopoly. Not only was Rod well-developed, so was Oriental Avenue.
"Uh-oh," Rod said. "Looks like someone's going to lose the shirt off his back."
"I don't have enough money for the rent," Mike said. "What do I do?"
"Doug did explain, didn't he?" Rod was saying, "that we play strip Monopoly?"
Mike pondered the implications. Rod stood and walked over behind Mike and started unbuttoning Mike's shirt.
"For me, it's a furry body," Rod explained.
He pulled Mike's shirt off and started rubbing his hands across Mike's chest.
"When I rub my hands across a bear's body fur, it makes my fingers tingle and send sparks through my whole body that seem to electrify my dick."
Find out the hilarious and hot conclusion of this story, Cub Makes Headlines, written by Jay Neal.
By getting the book, Bear Lust, available through my website, www.serratia.com.
Thanks for tuning in your furry ears here to Bear Soup. This is Spunk Daddy, Ron Serratia. Until next time, grr pals.
You have been listening to Bear Soup. Send your questions and comments to bearsoup@bearradio.net.